Joshua chapter 1, and we're making application of this Old Testament situation and setting where you've got Israel literally marching to gain possession of their inheritance, which was a literal land, they being an earthly people and having an earthly possession, dealing with a physical circumcision. We're the New Testament church. We're a heavenly people of a spiritual circumcision. And there's a part of our inheritance that as children of God, we too, in living our lives and just going by day, we have to take possession of. And such involves walking by faith. And walking by faith results in spiritual progress, a matter of getting stronger and a matter of growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and producing the fruit in our living that comes directly from the Holy Spirit of God. So as we talk about being fruitful and spiritual, understand that's not natural. It's opposed to being natural. Doesn't matter, you know, in this regard, we're talking about the supernatural fruit of God coming into our life. It has nothing to do with really our upbringing, our background, our experience. This comes from God. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, the Spirit emphasizes the eternal nature and the eternal endurance of the Word of God. And it says it liveth and it abideth and it endureth and sets it alongside of all flesh and says that's not going to last. And then sets it alongside of the glory of man and says that's not going to last. But then states that the Word of God is going to last. It's going to endure forever. And having made that point, he's showing us the necessity of being people of the Word. He encourages us to be people of the Word, and Christians have to be encouraged to be people of the Word because the Word of God is spiritual. It is spiritual. It's not carnal. It's not written for the education of the flesh. It's not written for the entertainment of the flesh. The carnal man, therefore, is not going to stay interested in the Word of God for very long because the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. And the flesh is against the Spirit. And the Spirit is against the flesh. And when you and I have lost our desire for the Bible, it is because we are living more after the flesh than we are in the Spirit. And the Word of God is incorruptible seed. It's not only that incorruptible seed by which we've been born again and saved, but also it is that incorruptible seed which brings about the production of that fruit from the Spirit of God in our life. And God will break up the grounds of our hearts whenever we become distracted and hardened by the world. And the Word of God is used by the Spirit of God. Come in there and break up the soil of our heart. And then He'll enrich the soil of our hearts by the Word of God. And then that Word will get planted into our spirits there and be that incorruptible seed. But you have to watch for the old devil coming along because he'll steal the seed just like he does with a lost man. He doesn't quit being the devil just because you got saved. He'll try to get in there and rob you of that seed that's been sown into your life. And so we have to stay after the Word of God, which actually even protects the seed that's been sown into the heart because it is a two-edged sword and it's sharper than any other two-edged sword. And then God, by the Word, will nourish that seed. And He'll water that seed by the water of the Word. And He'll give light to that seed, which is the Word. He'll give light to that seed by the light of the Word. And then, of course, it's something there that begins to produce that fruit in our life. So there's many facets and ministries of the Word of God in our life. And once it's been planted, we need to stay after it there so that we can be, as the Bible speaks of that blessed man, when his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that's why the devil works to try to keep us away from the Bible. And that's why even with the Bible, when the Scripture's in there and we've received it into our heart, he keeps working there and tries to get it away from us there, because the devil understands the supernatural potential of the Word of God in the life of a believer. And there's no divorcing, folks, the spiritual nature of the Word and the spiritual union of the Scriptures from the Holy Spirit. And whenever people try to do that, when they try to divorce the ministry of the Spirit of God from the Word of God, it always leads to false doctrine and heresy. Again, the flesh is against the Spirit. The Spirit is certainly against the flesh. And the more carnal we are, the less we will desire the Bible. And the more spiritual we are, the more we will desire the Scriptures. And that's why it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." You'll notice there's a process there. He says if you're going to have a desire for the milk of the Word that you can grow, you've got to lay aside some things. Because those things, sure enough, will quench your desire for the spiritual nature of the Word of God. And carnality quenches our fires for the things of God. And so, if we're not in the Word, we're not growing. If we want to grow, we got to get in the Word. If we're going to get in the Word, we got to have a desire to get in the Word. Folks, that's the absolute truth tonight. I know some of you are tired, but I'm really telling you the truth. I'm not pulling one over on you. This is the truth. The reason why some of you don't read your Bible is because you don't want to read your Bible. You have no desire for it. And the reason you don't have any desire for it is because there's other things in your life that is quenching and killing that desire for the spiritual nature of the Word of God. And so he says, lay aside those things. Lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And as newborn babes, it doesn't matter if you were saved yesterday or 20 years ago, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And that's why ignoring the Word of God grieves the Spirit of God. When we ignore the Bible, the Spirit of God is grieved, and that leads to His being hindered and working in our lives. And of course, what that results in is no fruit. Because the fruit that we're talking about isn't coming from us. It's coming from the Spirit of God. And He's hindered and grieved whenever we're ignoring the Word of God. And listen, as spiritual children of God, which we are by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an inheritance in both the spiritual kingdom and the literal kingdom. And we've been laboring on that point lately here, talking about the kingdom of heaven, which is the physical manifestation of the glory of God. God's kingdom coming down to earth. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Just like you had there, the land of Palestine and Mesopotamia and all that, there around the Mediterranean Sea, and here came Assyria occupying that place, and then here come Babylon occupying that land, and then you had the kingdom of Persia, then you had the kingdom of Greece, and so on down the line, kingdom of Rome, all the way until the United Nations and the end, which is the final Gentile world power. So too, you're going to have the kingdom of heaven that will come from heaven and set up occupants on the earth. And Jesus Christ, Zechariah 14:9 says, "The Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. And He'll sit upon the throne of David." Listen, as a child of God, we have an inheritance in that literal kingdom. As a child of God, we also have an inheritance in the spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. It abides within us. Colossians 1 speaks of that hope that's laid up for us in heaven in connection to the Word of truth. And it says, "It bringeth forth fruit since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth." I mean, from the day you heard the Word and you believed it and you understood the gospel and the grace of God in truth, the Word of God began to bring fruit, he says. And he goes on to speak of our walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then notice what he says, Colossians 1:12, "Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, which hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Listen, we have an inheritance, again, in both the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And part of that inheritance is unconditional. And then there's a part of that inheritance that is conditional. As far as our relationship to God and being part of His church, having already been given the earnest of the inheritance, which is the Spirit of God, that's unconditional. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that everybody who's truly saved has the Spirit of God. Any man that has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. You have the Spirit of God. You're born of the Spirit. Galatians 3 says, having begun in the Spirit. That's when it began. You don't get saved, then a little bit later you receive the Spirit of God. You're born of the Spirit. You begin in the Spirit. God gives you the Spirit as the earnest of that inheritance. And then, of course, that part there is unconditional. And as far as our being in the kingdom of heaven, listen, Christ returns to this earth. We're returning with Him. And we're going to be with Christ during that time. But reigning with Christ, and sharing in His glory, that's a matter, according to the New Testament now, of suffering the life of self-denial and taking up your cross and suffering with Christ in order to follow Jesus Christ. And those that don't do that will not reign with Christ, according to Romans chapter 8. And then right now, bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit of God. See, having the Spirit of God, that's unconditional. If you're saved, you've got Him. But not everyone who has the Spirit of God bears the fruit of the Spirit of God. That's conditional. And if we walk after the flesh, we will not bear that part of the inheritance that we have in the kingdom of God. We forfeit that part. Really, what is life apart from those things that are detailed for us in that list of the Spirit of God? What is worth it down here that we would trade what He said we could have if we'll walk in the Spirit? What's worth it down here that we would forfeit those things that He said we could have and live for just down here? There's nothing down here. Amen. It's vanity of vanities. Amen. Thank God for family. Thank God for friends, man. But you know what makes all that tolerable? Is the fruit of the Spirit of God. And the joy of the Holy Ghost and all those things He mentions. Now, looking at Joshua chapter 1 there, He shows you the matter of their walking for Israel. It's conditional for them. He says in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. Now, that land is given to them. It's theirs by inheritance. But they can't just sit there on that side of Jordan and it come to them. It's not going to happen. They're going to have to walk through there. They're going to have to walk through there and get what God had given them. And for us, if we're going to live fruitful lives, and I'm trusting tonight, I'm preaching to some people here that want a fruitful life. And if we want to live fruitful lives and we want to live in the light of the Lord, then most certainly we're going to have to walk in that light. Because He's not going to walk in our darkness. We're going to have to walk in that light and we're going to have to walk in the Spirit. The last time we considered Joshua as a pattern in progress. And what we've seen was this. In Exodus chapter 17, in the battle against the Amalekites, Joshua was first proven in battle. Then in Exodus chapter 24, he was prepared through serving. Also in Exodus 24, he was patient in waiting. And then in Numbers 14, he was pure in his vision. Now that's some good points to a good outline, but let's not get hung up on something like that there. We need to get our feet up from under this thing, amen, and put some legs on it. That is, make application of what we're talking about tonight, applying these truths, because what we're talking about is making progress. And that's the will of God. Joshua was proven in battle. Again, a man that was about to become a military leader for the nation of Israel there, for the people of Israel going in to take that land, he's their leader, the leader of conquest. Before Moses dies, he leads them in battle against the Amalekites. Now, he's going to be the leader after Moses dies. But before Moses dies, you know what happened? He got proven in battle against the Amalekites. And again, folks, there are some Christians who are just saved as you and I are, and they haven't progressed one inch. They haven't progressed one inch because they won't take that first step of self-confrontation in challenging Amalek, their own flesh, disagreeing with their own lifestyle, and challenging themselves there. And for Joshua, listen, there were 31 kings waiting. Amen. That battle with the Amalekites, that wasn't the last battle. That was the first one. There was many more to go. It all started when he took on the Amalekites there. And sometimes, you know how it goes. I remember when I first got started, the things that I was struggling with when I first got started right now aren't even a blip on the radar. And I'm not bragging about how spiritual I am, but I will say this. I can tell by the type of battles I'm fighting now in regards to the type of battles I fought when I was first saved, I can tell there's been some progress made. And those things back then, the things that I'm dealing with now, I didn't even know were a sin back then. the things I'm dealing with that hinder me now. I didn't know we're even on God's radar back then. And those things that gave me a fit back then, I mean, you know how it was. Your filthy mouth and your long hair and your music and all that stuff there. And there just came a day where the Lord started saying, that's got to go and that's got to go and you got to get rid of that. And so I started making some decisions there and cutting away. And it was tough and it was, you know, just now it's hard to say the words. Self-denial? Because that's a junk to me now. But back then it wasn't. I was 14 years old. You understand? And back then, it was a big deal. And there's some folks, listen, they get to that point there where they're not going to disrupt their lifestyle for nothing or no one. They won't have the first battle with the Amalekites. They're satisfied. And then 10 years down the road, they're going to be right where they were when they got saved spiritually. They haven't grown an inch because they won't take on the Amalekites. You got to start somewhere, amen? Listen, Joshua was proven in battle, and then as we mentioned there, he's Moses' minister. That means he's prepared through serving. If you're going to be a leader, you got to serve. Amen. If you're going to lead, you got to follow. That's God's order and promotion there. We got to be faithful in a few before he'll give us administration or make us ruler over much. And that's God's plan of promotion. Joshua was Moses' minister. He got his start serving under Moses. And then also, speaking of how he was patient and waiting, you remember what I'm talking about there. Moses is having a mountaintop experience. He's with the Lord. He's having church. I mean, it's thunder and lightning and God speaking and it's glory. Now down at the bottom there, they're trying to manufacture all that. And they get together and they decide, hey, we need to kind of do something that we're familiar with and something we're comfortable with. And they go to Aaron, they put the pressure on him, and Aaron comes up with this golden calf. You know the story and how it's real funny. He just put all their gold in the fire, and that's what came out. But this golden calf came out, and they're all dancing around nude, naked, and they're listening to music that reminded them of the noise of battle. Amen. I mean, you know what that music is, don't you? You know what they're having? They're having a Christian contemporary service down there. That's what's going on. Well, all the Christian rock music and all that nonsense down there, and they're all jumping around. They're about half nude. You know where Joshua's at? Well, he hadn't backslid down there to their level. And he hadn't been allowed to go up there to mountaintop experience, amen? But just because he wasn't on the mountaintop didn't mean he's going down there where they were. You know where he was? He was waiting right where he was supposed to be waiting. Much of the Christian life is not on the mountaintop. We've got to learn how to be faithful and consistent when it's not shout her out and run the bases time. Sometimes, brother, it's just Monday. Amen? And there's work to be done. And there ain't no sense in being carnal just because it's Monday. We've got to learn how to do right and yield and submit to the leadership of God and seek to be filled with the Spirit of God even on Monday. And we can't just, you know, well, I'm not on the mountaintop. I'm not feeling like shouting. Amen. Do you have to have a rushing mighty wind every time you can say, praise the Lord? Is that the case? I don't think I have to have a spiritual experience to say glory to God. He's worthy of glory. Amen. I get out and I got a flat tire and the engine's overheating, whatever. I can say glory to God. Amen. I mean, I'm not even about to have a fit. Amen. I'm trying not to kick something. But, amen, He's worthy. He's worthy. We don't have to have an experience, you know, where we can say, praise the Lord. He's worthy of our praise, regardless of how we feel about it. And listen, we need to learn that we got to be faithful, even when we're not on the mountaintop. And then speaking of how he was pure in his vision there, this is where we left off. That refers to his reaction there in regards to the evil report of those spies. And remember, he was one of 12 there, and also his reaction to what he himself saw. As one of those spies there, he and Caleb came back speaking about how big God's word was and how big the land was and how big the fruit was. They didn't even care how big the giants were. You know why? He was pure in his vision. He had a hold of what God said. He had laid hold of God's promise there. And here's the question, what about us? What kind of vision do we have about our own walk with the Lord? About enjoying the fruitfulness that God promised. What about that kind of a vision for our own life? A lot of times we talk about the vision for the work of God, and certainly we need that. But what about you, yourself? You got any goals? Can you see yourself getting stronger spiritually? Can you see yourself becoming more fruitful? I mean, when the Lord says to you, be filled with the Spirit, and He speaks about the potential of the fruit of the Spirit, we talk again, the fruit of the Spirit is the love of God. It comes from God. It's the love of God. The joy of the Lord. It comes from the Lord. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The long-suffering and gentleness of Christ, as well as the goodness of God, and the faith and the meekness and the temperance of Christ. What about when your Savior Jesus says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Whenever you hear such statements there, where's your vision at tonight? Where's your vision? Can you see yourself, you, walking in the Spirit of God with the living characteristics of Jesus Christ Himself bearing out through your life within and outward and upwards toward God the Father? See, that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is that balanced life we're looking for. It's that life of holiness. That's what we're looking for. The fruit of the Spirit makes us balanced. It makes us whole. That's where we get the word holy. Again, we're not talking about being sinless. That'd be nice. And I believe that ought to be our desire. But we're not talking about being sinless. See, I have to say that because if I don't qualify, there's going to be somebody thinking I'm talking about sinlessness, and you'll quit listening. Now, I'm not talking about being sinless. I'm talking about being whole, being complete, maturing, growing, being fruitful, being balanced, established, rooted, grounded, single-minded. Someone who's whole is single-minded. A double-minded man is what? He's unstable. He's not balanced. He's unstable in all his ways. His mind is everywhere else. You see, he's got to settle down and get whole. And the Lord wants us to be holy. That fruit of the Spirit there is inwards, and that it's love, joy, and peace. It's outward, and that it's long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. Outward in how we treat people. We need that, amen? Again, long-suffering. It's gentleness. It's goodness. Upwards toward God. Faith, meekness, temperance. Again, that involves being balanced. Jeremiah chapter 17 says in verse 7, blessed is the man. I want you to think about yourself tonight. This ain't the preacher. This ain't even the prophet. This is the man. If this is you, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Boy, that sounds good to me. That sounds good to me. Can you see yourself in that light? I mean, that's what we need. Some brethren, folks, listen to me. Here's my point tonight. They can't get a vision of life ever being that way because they know what the next verse says. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Friends, we need to be familiar with Jeremiah 17:9. There's no doubt about it. But some folks are so familiar of that truth there about the carnal nature and sin at work in their fleshly members, they can't visualize and see themselves as ever being a spiritually minded Christian who is daily following Christ in a fruitful life. They can't see themselves that way because they know their flesh and they know that sin that's at work in their members. And what some of us need to see, listen, we need a vision of ourselves having a stronger and more effectual prayer life. We need to see ourselves having a stronger faith and becoming a more faithful witness and a more effectual soul winner. And quit letting the giants of the reality of the old nature and sin that's at work in our members, quit letting those giants cheat us out of possessing our possession as far as the inheritance that we have through the grace of God, through walking by faith and trusting the Lord. Because we can do it. We can have that fruit of the Spirit. It can be you. It can be me. There's not one of us here that's an exception. We can have that fruitful, abundant life there. And it's not about wealth and health. Amen. That's not it. The gospel of prosperity is of the devil. That's not what we're talking about. That abundant, fruitful life there. That fruit that comes from the Spirit of God. Joshua's pure vision about that land had nothing to do with his sword. It had nothing to do with Moses' rod. It didn't have anything to do with Israel's numbers. It didn't have anything to do with their past victories over the Amalekites there. It was a pure vision because it was based solely upon the promises of God. His mind was focused on what the Lord had said. And therefore, he was saying, we need to make plans. We need to make plans based on what God said. And I talk about, you know, being able to visualize yourself after this. And it's kind of like I think of things in the ministry. And I struggle with this. Believe me, I'm not bragging tonight when I tell you this. But I got to fight this thing. I got to fight this thing in the ministry there. Just as some people would in their Christian walk, I got to fight it in the work of the ministry. A few weeks ago there, just an example, we had to take the kids from Landmark over there to Lexington. And we're there at this big sports complex there and this convention and tournament that's taking place of Christian schools. And we're there, and Brother Fugit comes in behind me and kind of gooses me. And we get caught up, you know, and before we know it, we're back over there at his church, and I'm looking around and everything, and he gets to ask, well, why didn't you come preach at family camp this year? You know, and asking me. And I felt terrible about that thing. I did. I felt terrible about it. Same thing, Brother Ralph, just, you know, had that pastor school, and, you know, I didn't want to be a part of it if I was going to be speaking. And this is just the way it goes for me. This is the struggle. You pray for me. I'm not, like I say, I'm confessing. But I get in that situation there, and it was just one thing after another that time there where Brother Ralph has asked me to do that, and Brother Fugit has asked me to do that family camp, and then Brother Reese was getting ordained, and I was up there in a meeting with Brother Skipper and Brother Sal. And here's what you think. Well, that would be an honor. Yeah, you'd think. It is an honor if I just thought about it. But I get in that situation and it overwhelms me that I don't belong. And it's just that realization there that I'm here and I'm waiting my turn to preach behind Rick Sal. Rick Sal, I love that brother. He's a great preacher. He's a great pastor. And I'm waiting my turn to preach behind him. And then Brother Skipper's going to go. And I, you know, how I feel about Brother Skipper, what a great preacher he is. And then I go to that family camp. And here I am talking to these family. You know, Brother Fugit, his daddy was a Bible-believing preacher, soul winner. I mean, he was raised around that his whole life. That was the way he was raised. And that's his life. The ministry has been his life. And I'm there, and that camp is filled with families. And that's the way they've been raised. That's who they are. And you know me, I came out of a sewer. I just skipped out of a ditch by the grace of God. And here I am, I'm going to talk about the family to these families. And I feel I have to try to fit in with that. And it's hard to reconcile. I go to Brother Ralph's pastor school there. And I thought, I'm going to preach. You know, I'm going to preach on these three subjects there. The pastor and his spirit and the pastor and his prayer life. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on. Instead, it's a classroom environment, and they're all sitting there with their notebooks, and the gray-haired pastors sitting there, and pastors that have graduated Bible school. And honest, I felt like sneaking out of all three situations and just driving off and not saying goodbye. Because I don't and I can't see myself in that light. And then I wrestle with it when I'm praying. I know I'm preaching the Word of God. This ain't my ideas. This ain't my experience. This isn't my wisdom. This is His Word. And that's just the thing. And I bring that up because I think that's the way some Christians are. They realize they came out of a ditch. And they see over here, here's so-and-so, and they've been raised in church. And they look the part. They just got that Christian glow to them, you know. And they've just been trained in the ways of being a disciple. And they know so much. And they've got so much grace to them. And they watch them and how they treat people and how they walk with God and how they're at peace among themselves there and happy with the Lord. And they just, because of they've come out of such an environment, they can't see themselves in that light. And they don't have that vision that they need there that, hey, you know what? This ain't about our background and our education and our training. All those things, I'm not throwing off on any of them. Those things are good. But they do not produce the fruit of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God produces the fruit of the Spirit of God. And it comes from the Lord. And everyone who has the Spirit of God can have the fruit of the Spirit of God in their life. And they can abound in this thing. Now, you look at what God's provided as a means for that to happen. God provided us all a means by which we can be spiritually minded and by which we can be fruitful. And it's visibly illustrated here in the journey of Israel. And they're being led by Joshua there to possess Canaan's land. And they're going to take the place of this inheritance there. And it's illustrating these great truths there for us in a visible way, where we can read about it and we can really see it. Now, how do you get to that place, spiritually speaking, that place that is that spiritual plane that God wants us to get to? And any time, you know, you think about how can I get there and then higher? How can I abound in this life there? Now, how do you get to the place you're supposed to be spiritually? Well, recognize here God's placement in regards to this. Verse 2, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. We're thinking about spiritual progress in your walk with the Lord, my walk with the Lord. This visible illustration of the children of Israel, led by Joshua there, they're not being presumptuous to go over that Jordan. They're not being presumptuous. They're not being forward there. Here's the Lord, and he's saying, as far as his placement's concerned, he's saying, get over there. Get over there. You understand? You're not being presumptuous to attempt the spiritual life. Well, preacher, it's just not the way I was raised. And I've just done so many things, and you just don't know my background. I don't care. And the Lord doesn't care. He wants all of us to progress and to grow. And here's Israel and Joshua. They're not looking across Jordan saying, what do you think? The Lord's placed them, and he's saying, get over there. See, this isn't just something the Lord wants for you. The Lord is demanding us to get over there, to be more fruitful. Get over that Jordan. Go over this Jordan, possess that land, and then realize God's purpose in regards to all this. He says in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, notice, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Going over Jordan and claiming Canaan's land wasn't just God's placement, it was God's purpose. It was a matter of verifying his word, proving him to be true. He said, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God had given a promise to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to those succeeding generations there, and he had spoken of that good land that they would enjoy. For example, here's Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. He says, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, and he said, to fear him, for the Lord God thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Oh, that's a physical picture of what we're talking about spiritually in a fruitful believer. That's what we're talking about. And he's glorying in that land, and he's motivating those people of Israel to go forward based upon the promises that he gave about that good land. And here's Joshua and Israel outside that land of promise, and God's saying, go and verify what I've been telling people. Show them. I know what I'm talking about. You know, when nobody likes somebody say, I told you so, you know what the Lord will do? The Lord will do just that. You prove him to be true, and he'll say, I told you so. You get in that book and you'll begin to read it. God will say, I told you so. In the New Testament, you see passages where the Lord is endorsing the Christian life. And he is he's glorying in the Christian life, leading men to by the Spirit of God to point people towards that walk of faith that's filled with glory and joy unspeakable. And whenever a child of God goes across old Jordan and begins that walk, and they lay hold of that possession there that the Lord said was theirs by the virtue of the new birth there, with the spiritual soles of their spiritual feet, if you will, walking by faith there, the Lord say, I told you so. Because they begin to verify the Word of God and all the promises of God's Word, and in regards to going higher and enjoying this fruit and possession of our inheritance, that's a matter of God's placement. It's a matter of His purpose, the divine purpose. Then third, it's a matter of His provision. He gave us the Holy Spirit as the earnest of our inheritance. Not only a seal unto the day of redemption, but the earnest of our inheritance. And part of our inheritance is in this life, as we live day by day, bearing this fruit we're talking about. And God said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I mean, we read it in Joshua 1, I've given. In Deuteronomy 6, he says, it shall be when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. He said, you're going to get all this that you didn't get on your own. The Lord said, I just gave it to you. And that inheritance was provided them by the Lord. And our inheritance is provided us by the Lord. How could Israel enjoy such a land of plenty and fruitfulness? Because God gave it to them. It was theirs by inheritance there. And how can you live a life that's abounding in the love of God, or in the joy of the Lord, or the peace of God, or the long-suffering, the gentleness and goodness of God in your dealings with people? Amen. Some folks are, well, that's out there, preacher. You might as well go back to talking about being sinless. No, you can be long-suffering with the long-suffering of the Lord, and gentle with the gentleness of Christ. Amen. You can be. You know what God's done? He's provided the Spirit of God so that we can have and enjoy these things in our life. Now, fourth, there's God's prescription for success. God's provided this. Down there in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Listen, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God provided the Word, and that's His prescription for success. And that's the only time the Word shows up in the Bible, right there. And it's got nothing to do with money, power, or position. It's got to do with the will of God. Every person who's a success in this life is a man who knows what the will of God is and does it. They're a success in the sight of God. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. They're doing what the Lord would have them to do. They're in His will. And God will honor those that honor Him. And we honor Him whenever we get in that book. And that book gets in us. And we delight to walk in it, to walk by it. That honors God. And God will honor those who honor Him. It brings about success. And success is defined in the New Testament as bringing forth fruit. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. You're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's the Lord. The Lord telling us, hey, you want to be a success? You want to bring forth fruit for the glory of God the Father? Abide in me and my words in you. That's the key to success, that prescription there, the book. And in the book, there's promises, God's promises that are provided. God's promises, that's fifth. He says in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's God encouraging Joshua by promise. You're not alone. I'm going to walk with you while you do this thing. And I'm going to help you. And I won't forsake you. And then he says there in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Well, some good promises right there. You know, the Lord gives us some pretty good promises too. He sure does. And we can, according to the New Testament, bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Because we have weapons which are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We can resist the devil and he will flee. Amen. We can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We can overcome the world because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Then also God's provided us His presence so that we can enjoy and experience His possession. He says in verse 9 again, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God said, I'm with you. And he's given that promise. And then last, his protection. His protection. And that's obvious throughout Joshua chapter 1 in the New Testament as far as our application is concerned. Here's what he says in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're given protection. We're not alone. We don't have to overcome the devil in our flesh. I know he's stronger than you. I know he's stronger than me. I know he's stronger than all of us put together. But he's not stronger than him. And he says that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He gives us the protection. He gives us the provision of his word and his promises. He gives us the prescription for success. He guarantees we will succeed if we'll do it. We won't turn from it. We'll observe it. He guarantees success. We can enjoy this inheritance. I want to ask you to stand if you would. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask something. If there's somebody here tonight, if we were to have an invitation that you feel like the Lord would have you to come forward, be honest now. If there's not, we're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. If there is somebody, we will give you opportunity to come forward and spend some time here on the altar tonight. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for these that have faithfully come out here this Wednesday night. As we gathered around it, we thank you, Lord God, for the liberty that we have in this country to come here and meet, and pray that you'll bless, Lord God, in regards to the prayer requests that have been entrusted to us. Lord, help us to take them home and to spend time praying about them. And Lord God, realize it's a blessing and an honor for someone to trust us with their prayer request. God, I pray that you'll bless in regards to this fellowship, put down the flesh and all the distractions of Satan. Lord God, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be hedged about, and Lord, to have our hearts and minds joined together in your word and in your work. And I pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord, to be empowered to get the work done. Thank you, Lord, for a job to do. And thank you, Lord, for this church. And God, we just pray that you'll put your hand upon us and continue to use us. And Lord, bear witness to the truth. Lord, thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy, for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless in the regards of the remainder of this week. Strengthen, Lord, each one that has to go out there in the world and face the world. God, strengthen them against temptation. Help them, Lord God, to have their forehead set like a flint. And Lord God, to be divinely and spiritually stubborn against the temptations of the world. And Lord, I pray that you'll cause us to be watchmen, faithful watchmen, concerning those that are lost. Help us to give warning for them. Lord, I pray you'll help us to be faithful to sound that warning to these folks in these communities and throughout this nation. Lord, help us to be a light to the whole world by the power of your Spirit. God, keep everyone safe tonight. Watch over us, we pray. Bless our families and our testimony, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me mention something real quick here as you're leaving. I would have forgot this, but Miss